You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk all about their lives and music while sharing a craft beer. I hope you had a killer weekend. I most certainly did. Now, I know I said that I was going to take the month of April off, but I had such a blast this past weekend attending Kanawaki Brewing's 5th anniversary party, as well as La Cuvée, a killer craft beer festival here in my hometown of Montreal, that I decided to just do a whole episode about it. I'm not going to do the standard whole intro thing. Let's just jump straight into this. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 403.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
So here we are, first day of my vacation, April 1st, and being typical Matt from Vox and Hops, I'm recording an episode. Why not? Let's do a whole episode of my crazy day of going to Kanawaki Brewing's 5th anniversary and going to La Cuvée. Let's do it. Here I am hanging out with Drew Stevens, the brewer, the owner, part owner of Kanawaki Brewing. Drew, how you doing? Happy 5th anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be a hell of a day, I think.
Hell yeah, it's going to be a hell of a day. I'm very stoked to be here. You're definitely one of Quebec's most underrated brewers, and I love to tell people that, and people should come and hang out and enjoy the multiple array of beers right now up on the board right now. What do you got going on? I, for myself, am enjoying a killer brew called Cryptopsy, a New World Pilsner, which is a it's a dry-hopped Pilsner with mosaic hops.
That's right, yeah. For which band would we brew that for?
Well, it's a little shitty band called Cryptopsy. We've been doing this collab together for 2 years now. It cycles and rolls and comes back around whenever you glance over at the pack of unused labels that are still sitting there, and I'm okay with that. I'm stoked to be drinking it right now. Actually, what else is going on today for the anniversary?
Yeah, so we got some. We got our 5 anniversary beers for the 5th anniversary. We have Golden Gate, which is a wine barrel saison mixed culture, so it's super funky. We did blend in some wine must, red and white wine must, and we added some hash caps or honeysuckle berries, depending where you're from. We also have a mixed culture barrel aged saison, but in bourbon barrels, so you got a really nice bourbon barrel note in there. Whilst also still being funky in there. We love having barrel-aged barley wines for our anniversaries. This time was no exception. We did a black barley wine this time. How fucking metal would that beer be, you know, not having a black barley wine in a goddamn barrel at 11.4% too. And then we have two IPAs, one that we did with our buddies at Toltec. It's a straight-up IPA using a new variety of hops called Luminosa. It's called Illuminosa Confirmed. That's a 6%. And then we have one we're hanging out actually right now with the guys from Jackal Hop. It's a juicy double IPA. This one we went like full thiol thing, crazy dry hops and all that stuff. It's called Jacked Up, 8.2%. It drinks like goddamn juice, and people are going to get fucked up.
Well, it sounds like you've been a busy boy leading up to all of this. How much lead time goes into setting up an anniversary? I know that for any of my projects, it takes multiple months. I plan out multiple months when approaching breweries because I know how busy it gets. Planning an anniversary, how much lead time do you typically go with?
So as soon as, actually right before Christmas, we start picking the dates and laying out a little bit of groundwork for that. January 1st was really kind of like the Kickstarter for our anniversary, knowing that we're really brewing towards mid-March. This year, well, our anniversary is actually St. Patrick's Day, but it's always been too chaotic for us to do that. So this year we decided to split it, give our staff 2 weeks to recover, for us to regroup, and for us to like redecorate and all that shit. We start planning from like January 1st, basically, when we wake up all nice and hungover, and then start planning. What are we going to do for beer releases, you know, drinks? Are we doing entertainment, barbecues, so on and so forth? So Yeah, but the beer brewing really starts happening maybe in like February, March, depending on what we're doing. For the barrel age stuff, we have some stuff that's on the board that's been in barrels for 2 years. So obviously we never planned for that. It just turns out that like we end up tasting the barrels, seeing where they're at, and then we pick the ones that are the best. We want to come out with Hell's Gate because that's kind of like our shtick. We always come out with our Hell's Gate barrel aged barley wine, and this year wasn't really up to our expectations, so we're going to let that hang out in the barrel a little bit longer. But the black barley wine really did it for us, so we came out with that one.
Hell fucking yes. Last year, you collaborated with a bunch of beer media people. I won't use the dirty I word. This year, decided not to do that. How bad was that experience doing Monstrosity that led you to not want to collaborate with any beer media for this year's anniversary?
Honestly, that was a really fun project. Last year, for 4 years, we did 8 beers. And then 2 of those beers were all actually with the content creators and so on and so forth. Whatever you want to call them, influencers or so on. But it was 8 people divided in 2 teams. It was a lot of work, a lot of coordinating, and a lot of sort of last-minute mishaps. We got to release all the beers that we wanted to, which was great. However, it was a lot of work. And then this year is just what a whole bunch of things. You know, just my father passing away in the fall and just a whole bunch of other shit. I just didn't want to, like, do too much coordinating and all that stuff. So 2 collabs was more than enough. We wanted to get out there with some other things that we don't usually do, like a lot of 1 barrel aging stuff on the regular, but also doing things like saisons and funkier things. So this opened the door for us to, like, you know, let's come out with that during our anniversary because we don't get to do that more during the year. And then I think that was good.
It's true that we're missing a big thing at this event right now, which is your pops. He was always super cool, man. So he was really, really always very nice. And I miss his presence deeply right now. The next year, what's coming up? If you could plan ahead, it's a hard thing to do. But if you have goals, you've already said right there you want to do more funk. What else would be a goal for the 5th leading into 6th year of Kanawaki Brewing?
So a lot of different projects that we're looking at, or I'm looking at. One, we want to start getting into actually producing craft sodas for our own bar. We may package those. We may not. I'm not sure. We spend a lot of money on Coke and Pepsi products for the mixed drinks. So why not, if we can make them ourselves or something closer? Definitely ginger beer is kind of like first on my list because I like drinking ginger beer and it's for some reason fucking expensive. So I just want to try my hand at making that. 2, we're definitely going a little bit harder in the non-alcoholic realm too. We do a non-alcoholic blonde ale, but we definitely want to go do like a non-alcoholic IPA, maybe a fruited beer. We're not sure how we want to take that, but that's definitely going to start taking its own brand identity for beer and all that stuff. We're going to keep trucking on mostly with the stuff that we'd like to do. We like to do everything, so we're going to keep it pretty diverse. We may add a couple of more taps. And then our other thing is that we might be looking into doing a little bit more events. And I can't say distribution because it's been a real fucking shit show on the shelves for a lot of people. So we don't want to bog that down or try play that game as well. But definitely we don't want to miss out on big events. For instance, we're teaming up with another brewery right now to kind of contract brew our stuff for events. So we're going to be doing a big one in Quebec City in August. And just trying to get us out there, get people to be aware of us out here and come visit us. That's really the big attraction here. And I think that's a big plan for this year.
Hell yes, that makes me very excited. Haze Wars is coming. Vox and Hops' Haze Wars, May 6th. Depending when this episode comes out, that may be in the past. It may be in the future. But I'm okay with that. I'm stoked to have teamed up with you to bring 5 amazing breweries in here to compete with you to create the best mono hop IPA using HB 586, a funky experimental hop from Yakima Chief Hops, because Yakima Chief Hops are presenting Haze Wars. I'm stoked to do more things with you, such as you're a part of Pit Culture. You're doing a collab with Mutaid.
to be a part of that. I can only keep pitching you things because I'm a big fan. I'm very stoked to be here right now. I want to drag over Jackal Hop to get their opinions about teaming up with you for the Jacked Up collab. Here we are with Marco and Max from Jackal Hop. Max is smiling and laughing. Marco's ready to talk a little bit. Here we are. There's Jacked Up on the menu right now, a collab at the 5th anniversary of Kanawaki Brewing. When Drew sent you that message, why did you guys say yes to collaborate with him?
Yeah, I talk for me and Max. We really like Kanawaki Brewing. Andrew is such a sweetheart, and we make the same kind of beer. We like him, so why not make a double IPA with him? Like with Phantasm.
Phantasm is a extract of the grape must from New Zealand grapes.
That's really interesting. With the hops, you have a really flavorful beer. And that's what I'm drinking, actually. And it's been 5 minutes, and my pint is almost empty. So that's perfect. Don't taste the alcohol.
Hell fucking yes. We will be back here on May 6th competing in Vox and Hops' Haze Wars, which is presented by Yakima Chief Hops. Are you ready to come to the Haze Wars trials? Are you ready to be judged blindly alongside 5 other breweries to come out as the Haze Lords?
We'll be the Haze Lords. There's no question with that. Yeah, we're ready to fight.
Hell fucking yes. This is an epic day. We're going to keep hanging out. We're going to La Cuvée after this. I am recording all day long, so let's see how this day keeps going. Stoked to be here with you both. Massive cheers. I'm going to drink that Jacked Up next. I'm here at La Cuvée. First person I see is Alex from Rattlebuck. Alex, how you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good. Why La Cuvée? Why do you come here? Why do you make the big trip? What is it about La Cuvée that makes you come here?
I don't know. It's a beer festival in a church. At the start, it's a pretty cool concept. And there's a lot of beautiful people there who loves beer, who knows beer too. You know, they are connoisseur in some way. So that's cool to serve those guys, and we're happy to be here. In Montreal?
Hell fucking yes. You know what? This is where we met each other. I'm not sure if you remember, but I 100% remember that.
Yeah.
And my good friend PA, who is here recording live podcasts for his Now podcast that is now born since the pandemic started out, IPA Podcast, introduced us. How you doing? It's good to be back with you. At La Cuvée, it makes me excited.
I bet. I remember all of it. You know, it's the last time the Cuvée went on, just like 2 weeks before the pandemic. So, yeah, that's a pretty... souvenir.
I don't know. The best kind of fucking memories, Alex. I'm very stoked to be with you again tonight. Noah Forrest from Beerisms here at La Cuvée on a Saturday night in Montreal. How the fuck are you doing?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good, bud. It's good to be with you. How you doing? I'm very excited. I was hoping that you'd be here tonight. Let's start. Why La Cuvée? Why are you here? Why out of all the beer festivals that you and I can attend, why are you and I here on a Saturday night not being anywhere else?
I think because it has a decent party vibe. I mean, you can get good beer anywhere at any time, but... You might spend a little bit more money here, but you're going to have a good time and meet sexy metal singers and everyone like that.
How fucking yes, I'm so stoked that you're here. What's going on? What's next? What's next for Beerism? Give us a little scoop.
More of the same, probably. I've been on a somewhat hiatus of sorts, just, you know, getting shit together. But I don't know. Maybe I'll come back with a bang. We'll see. Maybe some collaborations with some friends.
That would always make me excited. Let's bring back more than C'est Juste La Bière, more collabs. Give me a hug. Let's keep going. Hey, what's up? I'm with Gabriel. We're outside. There's a big line of people that are waiting to get into La Cuvée because why?
You should have been here yesterday, actually. Yesterday night, because the lineup was crazy, actually. It was an hour and a half waiting to enter in here. And now it just got sold out.
Fucking right. Why? Why La Cuvée? Why is La Cuvée the best fucking beer festival in Montreal? Why?
Because everyone's here. Everyone's that interesting is in there. There's a bunch of different beers. Everything is great. I'm starting to get a bit drunk. I've been here for 2 hours, so, like, you know, it's good. Everything here is good.
That makes me excited. I'm stoked to get in there. I was in there a little moment before. I'm coming. I'm all set. Yeah. I'm going to go back in. Don't worry. I'm going to have a good night. We're going to have a good night. You're going to see me again later. This is Vox and Hops at La Cuvée. Massive cheers for hanging out with me for a moment.
Thank you, man.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm outside with Alex. He appears like he works for La Cuvée. Alex, how you doing?
I'm great. And yourself?
Talk to me about La Cuvée. Why is La Cuvée the coolest fucking shit? Why does everyone want to be here? What is it about La Cuvée that differentiates it from all the other beer festivals?
Everything to drink is so fucking good. Everything. There's nothing that that you're going to drink that's going to be good tonight.
It's because I was here right before the pandemic. I was here the year before that as well. The podcast hadn't started the first time. The second time around, it had. I had actually just done an interview at Brewski with Philippe Boucher from Beyond Creation that day. We came here. We had a great fucking night. And then the pandemic just smashed us. And then it took a big break. And then I feel like La Cuvée did the right thing and waited to come back when everything was in fucking shape and came back with a smashing lineup. The beers are just incredible. I'm stoked to get inside, Alex.
Yeah, exactly. I think they waited the right time to in order to relaunch the cuvée, and it's incredible. I am here on my third day, and I'm tired, but so fucking stoked.
You look good for 3 days of this. I'm gonna get in there for my first day, but I'm stoked you took the time to hang out with me. Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, shit. This is never ending. Steph Dowles from the Procrastination Podcast, Vox and Hops, Thirsty Thursday Gang is here tonight. How the fuck you doing, bud?
I'm doing like a guy that's going to Cuvée, so it's the best fucking beer fest in the year, so I'm fucking happy. This is like Christmas for beer fans, for sure.
Why is this so good? Why did they bet the best beers? How does this work?
It's because we're all back from winter, we're all back from nothing happened in January, February. Now we're just hyped for whatever is going to happen, and we're going to know every beer trend this year, right now, today, for sure. It's going to be all the new cool things are going to be here, and then we know, oh, this summer is going to be this, it's going to be that, it's going to be this. So,
damn, is that true? You think so? What are the big trends? What is the next thing, Steph?
I'm not sure yet. I've seen a few things. There's a few beers I want to try. There's a couple of new things that Matera has shout out. As release and collabs, a bunch of collabs it did. So I'm intrigued by that. But I don't know. I just remember every other cuvée, I've discovered something new. And I'm sure I'm going to discover something new tonight.
I literally turned around and saw you without giving you a hug. So we're going to cut this short. I'm going to give you a hug and we're going to go drink some beer. My official photographer of the night, his name is Kevin. He runs a killer beer shop in my hometown, near my home, of Villeray. His name is Kevin. He's awesome. It's called La Canette. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm pretty good, except I just met Noah from Burism, so my night is kind of not a good start, but, you know, I'm happy to be here and chat to you with my super phone.
Hell fucking yeah. Stoked to have you with me tonight. Let's go hang out. Let's get you inside. Let's check our shit. Let's check out La Cuvée. Let's take some pics. Let's have a good night. This is Vox and Hops at La Cuvée. We are inside La Cuvée with PA from the IPA podcast. He just finished. He literally just finished. And what do? After a three-hour podcast, I come in here to fucking bother him. PA, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I wish I would have done a three-hour podcast. I just did an hour and a half podcast.
How has this been? You've been doing this three nights in a row. La Cuvée has really given some space and some thought into including podcasts into the event. What is your thought process behind that?
It's really cool. It's really cool to finally have a little, you know, I'm able to have people come over, talk about what their product, talk about the event. I just love it. I love the fact that they're open to that. And to have you here, you know, I think they're open. They're nice, you know, nice kind of people. They know the business. They know what's coming. And to have that sort of event, that little room that they created for the podcast, that's awesome. That's awesome.
La Cuvée are really, in my opinion, the most avant-garde, the most experimental, the most thought-forward beer. Why? Why? Who is involved that makes this brainchild, in your opinion?
I think it's really the guys behind. Like, now it's Concept B. Production Parallèle was there before with Justin, who created the event. And I think that he was really, I don't know, I think he had the the epiphany one day to be like, hey, let's do this idea, the church wise. The before it was like in a little at a basement of a church on Laurier Street, and now it's in this church, the Salon du Saint-Honoré. It's just amazing. It's
fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. It's just, and then to mix the distillery, the winery, and then the beer. It's just crazy. And this year he mixed the production company with Concept B. So now it's only Concept B is behind the whole thing, and they're also avant-gardist into that whole thing. They were in charge of Chambly for so many years, so they're used to huge events. So to be open to huge events like Chambly and to have this sort of event, it's more like cozy, geek, discovering nightclub beers. It's really cool to have all of that. I love it.
With all you saying that, I would be wary that we're going to lose that aspect because they're seeing it such a success. Are you afraid that La Cuvée is going to get too big and lose that little magical essence now that there's a monstrous company involved?
I don't think so. I think La Cuvée will remain. I hope it will remain like that. The one thing that I'm scared about is that, like, people want to discover beers every week. So with the trend of having like a new beer every week and everything, I feel like this year the Cuvée, the beers came out the same week as La Cuvée, when usually the beers were coming out like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later. Like, breweries were able to just hold on to those beers, to leave it to La Cuvée, to have people discover their beers. And now it's just so tight. People need to, you know, like 2023 is just not easy to anyone. So they need their beers out there, but they were able to withhold their beer, but it's the same week. So if you taste a beer now at La Cuvée, it's in the stores in the same week. You won't have, I think, one or two breweries. It's going to come out in like a month.
I'm stoked to hang out with you. I'm stoked that you're here doing this. Did you ever imagine that you would be hosting podcasts? Because your relationship with La Cuvée is special, having been at La Bière Logue, who is so involved with La Cuvée. People that don't know, La Bière Logue is a beer store located in Hochelaga in Montreal that's very closely tied to La Cuvée. Then you work with a lot of Buck. That's where I met you, basically, at the counter here, which is crazy. So did you ever imagine you'd be hosting podcasts here?
Never. I just started doing something I loved. I saw you, and I was like, okay, I got to do the same thing. No, honestly, I realized it's something I really love to talk about, like, your passion, and to try to just transfer that passion to people, and just to be here and to finally have that. It's just crazy. I'm so privileged to have that. I'm really happy. But yeah, to have been able to be behind, how do you say, like, behind the la clôture there, La Bière Logue was just welcoming people to the event, talking about the beers and leading people towards the right beer that they wanted to drink. Ralbuck, it was like making discover, like, that brewery was their first time here. And yes, I met you, but I was like, okay, Alex, which is the owner. So yeah, afterwards I was just like, okay, now I'm doing that. That's wow, surreal.
Thank you for taking some time. I literally interrupted you while you were tearing down your equipment. Thank you so much. We're gonna keep having fun.
Yeah,
but
so.
You guys should have been here to have had fun with us. Cheers, PA. Yeah.
Cheers. Thank you very much, man.
Salut tout le monde! On est à la cuvée avec Pat from the Galunatics from the beer store. What's the beer store? Help me.
I think Maltiops. Maltiops and Verdon!
Fucking right. La Cuvée, here we are, 2023. Damn stoked. You're at the Maltstrom tent. Why are you with Maltstrom? What's going on?
We're because they're our friends, Maltstrom. Maltstrom, Maltiops. I'm so confused now. We're kind of a blend now, so... So we're doing a party. I love this place because it's church-like and we swear like hell. So,
Tabarnak! What should I drink, Pat? What's going on here?
I have like a double IPA IPL, let's say, in a barrel of whiskey, Canadian whiskey.
Is that your beer?
Yeah.
Let's do it. I got to do it then. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's my glass. He takes my glass. He shakes it out. He's going to pour some beer. Thank you, Pat. I'm very stoked to see you. I've been hunting you, trying to get you on the podcast since day one, dude. One day I'll get you. I love it. You know I love it. Cheers, bud. Thank you so much.
Right, cheers.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right. I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates.
that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. Even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode.
Backstage at La Cuvée, here we are with my neighbors from Melon. How you doing? Let everyone, who are you? Tell everyone who you are.
I'm Alex from Melon, your neighbor and friend.
I'm very privileged to be your friend. You know, you're not always that lucky that your neighborhood brewery tends to be a fucking good one. But I consider myself very lucky. We did an interview for Le Monde de la Bière. I've never had you on the podcast, so people don't know this. But I stop in frequently, typically in the summer, because I can show up with my kids. We are at La Cuvée right now, backstage. It's your first Cuvée because you didn't exist the last Cuvée. So what is La Cuvée for you?
So basically, I used to be like a customer. I used to come here with David. We came every year, and it was like an happening for us, something we did every year. So now being like having my own brewery and pouring beer here is really nice. It's like the old circle, you know?
I'm proud of you because your beers are, if you could describe Melon, I could describe Melon. It's crushable beers, low ABV beers, wild beers. But they're all drinkable, crushable. You can go there, have a few, and leave and still go be productive in your life, which is a good thing in my life.
Yeah, it's what we aim to do. It's like the goal is that you can always drink 2 pints of the same beer. That's the thought process that every beer goes through. You should be able to drink 2 pints of this. Of course, some beers are heavier and you shouldn't maybe not drink 2 pints, but yeah, that's always the goal.
I think it's cool, and the atmosphere of Melon is very laid back, relaxing. You were invited to be hosting the media party for La Cuvée. How easy was that? Yes.
It was super easy for us. It was like I said, the full circle. It was like we used to go there knowing nobody and just going as ourselves, as customers. And now we're hosting the Lancement Médiatique. We're like, I don't know, it was really like we said yes right away. It was not for the money because, I mean, we don't have problem folding the place. We did it really for the exposure and for the experience. We loved very much to host that event. I don't know, it was really, like I said many times, a full circle for us.
You're wearing cloud-shaped glasses with little diamonds hanging off of it. Are you ever worried that this bubble is going to burst?
Our bubble? Always. you always need to... Like, we never sit back and say, okay, we're good, we can rest and everything's going fine and we can just let it be itself. We always try to improve everything we do, and this is just a way for us to be creative and have fun. The glasses, it's something we want to do at every festival that we're going to be pouring beer to. We have new glasses every time, and it's something we want to do. We did it. We started at La Commission Brassicole last June with a flame-shaped glasses. And yeah, just we never want to sit back and be happy with what's happening. We want it to be always better, and we're improving the beers, improving the service, improving the atmosphere, improving the artwork. So yeah, that's in fear that bubble might burst someday. We don't want that happening. So we work hard to never like be satisfied.
It must be like stressful to live like that, but it's also creatively very inspiring to never sit on your laurels. Rest on your laurels is the expression. What is the next year of Melon?
Well, we have a really jam-packed month coming because our anniversary is coming at the beginning of May, and we're releasing 9 beers and 4 bottles and 5 or 6 collabs. So it's like the months, the last month and then the coming month are really like the production calendar is like crazy. So before La Cuvée on Thursday, I was transferring a beer from the barrels to a tank that's going to be blended with another beer for our anniversary. So yeah, the coming month is going to be really jam-packed, like I said, and the coming year is same thing. We're like, we're not coming of age, we're still super young, but we're starting to see like what people like and what we feel like we're good at, so expanding on that. We want to do, now that we have more employees, we want to take the time and do a beer R&D trip in Europe, drink like original lagers. That's something that we have on our mind, and just collabs. I really like collabs because I learn a lot during these, so we'll keep doing that. We have a few in the works. I have a series going at we have a series of collaborative land beers that we brew with Ontario breweries, and we have another one coming. So yeah, stuff like that, always exploring, always getting better, and having fun while doing it.
I do have to say that I've been to a lot of microbreweries over the course of my life, and I may have frequented yours a little bit more than others because I live so close, but your staff has stayed stable, which is fucking awesome. Jasmine is working right now in front of us. He's been there since very early. So you guys do have a good retention of staff, which means something. Why is that?
David and I we're proud of the beers we brew, we're proud of the place we've built, but what we're proudest of is the employees and they call themselves family. If I was calling them that, it would be cheesy, but they're calling themselves like that. And yeah, the team we've built and the vibe we've created is something we're super proud about. And so none of our employees left for another job or something like that. They left because they moved from Montreal and they went to work in their field of study. I don't know if you say that. Like they're studying to be a teacher and one left to do that. So yeah, they've all been there for like 2 years and more. And yeah, we try to be really supportive of what they do and try to help them like ease the work and study and work and school balance by giving them fewer shifts during the school year and more shifts during the summer. So yeah, just we're trying to create a workspace that one we would like to work with if it wasn't ours.
Fucking right, dude. I'm a big fan. You know I'm a big fan. I'll keep telling you that I'm a big fan. I was in the brewery when you had no fucking countertops. Here we are at La Cuvée now, and you're one of the hypest breweries. I'm so fucking stoked for you. Thank you for taking a little bit of time to talk to me. I appreciate you. Let's keep it having fun. You guys should have been here. Cheers!
Cheers, man. Have a good one. Enjoy yourself.
Here we are at La Cuvée, up on the stage. There are people dancing. There's loud music. It's fucking cool. What a place. What an event. I am going to keep hanging out here. You guys should have been here. It was a great fucking night. Massive cheers to you all. What a fucking night. La Cuvée. Cheers!
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an epic day. I had such a killer time attending Kanawaki Brewing's 5th anniversary, as well as La Cuvée. Massive cheers to everyone that was a part of this episode. Massive cheers to the dudes from Jackal Hop for traveling with me to Kanawaki Brewing. Massive cheers to the whole crew at La Cuvée. And an extra special shout out to my friend Kevin, the owner of La Canette, my favorite craft beer store, for hanging out with me and taking a bunch of pics of me at the event. I had a blast. I cannot wait for the next Cuvée. I cannot wait for my next epic beer day. The Vox and Hospital Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a killer rest of the month of April. I am now truly taking a break. I will be back in May with brand new episodes, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. and our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes. We've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.